Mission focused. That's correct. Mission focused. Okay. There's not a lot of family minded going on in Nehemiah because Nehemiah is out there serving the Lord, right? Trying to get some stuff done. All right. But we have this series of classes. We started it last week. We're going to be doing it except the first Wednesdays of the month. We'll do some other things. Right. We're going to do a series of classes on those, what I call them hot topics, the things that are not necessarily directly addressed in the Bible, but I think every Christian has questions about these kinds of things. Okay. We did a thing on bioethics last Wednesday. We're going to talk about Christianity and race. By the way, race is not even mentioned in the Bible. So, you know, to talk about it is we have to base new principles and we should generate some discussion. Got it? Okay, we're going to have a white guy doing a class on Christianity and race. Forgive me, I can't help being white, but, you know, anyway. We did a whole conference on this, by the way. We brought in a guy from Atlanta, a young guy, African-American guy, obviously. Did a better job than I'll do, but I'm going to do as well as I can. Do things on gender and Christianity, things about LGBTQ, these kinds of things, homosexuality, what's the Bible say about that, but also how do we help people, all right? There's the truth, and then there's the loving people. We'll talk about that. War and peace, how does that fit in? Christians being soldiers, you know, what should be attitude towards war? Politics, big thing right now, the polarization in America. That polarization is infiltrating Christianity in unhealthy ways. What should be our perspective on that? We'll talk about Christianity and culture more broadly, just what is our relationship with our culture. All right, and then we'll talk about abortion, birth control. So those are the hot topics and others, okay? But now let's get back to Nehemiah. Let me do a little bit of review. So Nehemiah, what is one of, at least one of the themes, what is one of the things we can glean from Nehemiah, if you remember from our class 2 weeks ago? Jesse, you're off the hook. You weren't here. Okay.
To not be, even if it seems like it's not going to happen, or it seems like
okay,
no
good.
That these things are going to happen, I just believe it anyway.
Great. Yes.
In the face of opposition, we continue to build.
Right. And it is about building, right? Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff there about leadership. Leadership. In other words, the story is told from the perspective of Nehemiah, the guy who's bringing about this reformation, this restoration, this building, this project, this building of the kingdom. So a lot of it will be perspectives on what godly leadership should look like. All right, I need you to move either 1 foot to the right or 1 foot to the left. You know why? Oh, yeah, because, all right. Because I like to, when I've got a group this small, no, not that far. Okay, perfect. When I got a group this small, I want to look people in the eye. And I keep having, right, I kept doing that because I couldn't see Jesse. I don't know, it's not that important, but, alright. So the bottom line is Nehemiah saw a problem. He saw a need. He asked some questions and he was looking around to think, what is the need, right? And he said, how's it going in Jerusalem? What did they say?
Bad.
The walls are not built. The community is discouraged. There's no growth. God is not being glorified. Okay, great. So then what did Nehemiah do? He prayed first. Remember, he gave a very, very humble prayer where he accepted responsibility for the problem, even though arguably he wasn't the cause of the problem. Got that? Okay, got it? He confessed his sins. He had a very bold prayer, and then he went and took action. Remember, he took a risk, right? There he is. He went in front of the king. Right? And he had this depressed look on his face, which could get him killed, right? He was cupbearer to the king. So we see God is working all the time. God is working. All right? So Nehemiah, like Esther, there are some good parallels between Nehemiah and Esther in their similar time frame there. All right? So he said a quick prayer, right? And he got a positive response from Artaxerxes. All right? And Nehemiah had great faith, right? Remember he asked, yeah, just let me go for a few years and take a whole army with me and lots of money. A big ask, right? All right? And we need to have bold prayers and make big asks. I don't know if you remember, but it's like over 2 years ago now where I said, hey, we're going to find a place to meet. It's going to be cheap. It's going to be great. And the next day we get a phone call. Hey, check our place out. Yeah, come stay here. $50 a month. All right. These kinds of things. All right. So then what Nehemiah did was he brought a large group back to Jerusalem and he formed a plan, right? He checked out the situation very carefully and he analyzed this. Yes. Okay.
There's one here, just straight, and then it's under the tunnel.
Across the way.
All right, come on, buddy. Let's go.
All right. I already showed.
You got it. I'll be right back, John.
I already showed Mr. Josh where it was.
When you're out of university, just walk around. You find one. That's what I would do. But anyway, okay. So he evaluates this situation. He comes up with a plan, right? And then he creates a vision, right? He says, guys, we can do it, right? With God, we can do it. And it reminds them that God is in control. And he calls people, and there's that famous line there in Nehemiah chapter 2 where he says to the people, let us rise up and build. That's what we want to do. We want to rise up and build. We want to do great things for God. So we see boldness, we see humility, we see faith, we see planning, we see prayer, we see calling people to greatness for God, all that stuff. So then they start building, right? And as soon as they start doing building, as soon as they start achieving things for God, critics arise. And that will always happen. So you have Sanballat and Tobias. And like it says in the PowerPoint there, the Tobias and Sanballats of the world will always oppose the work of God. Who are they going to go after? If you're the leader, they're going to go after you. If you have a Bible talk that's making a difference on campus, somebody's going to go after you. And if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. All right? It's going to happen. And a lot of times the biggest criticism is going to come from the religious people who are supposed to be on your side, criticizing. All right? And so but Nehemiah says, hey, we're going to keep building. We're not going to stop. All right? We might respond to the criticism. We might even adjust our plan to some extent if it fits within God's will. But we're not going to come down, right? We're going to keep working. All right? So then Nehemiah examines the walls, and God, he comes up with a plan and all that sort of stuff. Okay, great. So the builders get building. Now, we're in chapter 3. We did a little bit of reading in chapter 3, but I'm going to start up again in chapter 3. Nehemiah 3. All right, everybody know where Nehemiah is, right? Mm-hmm. Sure, it's right before Job.
Second Nehemiah.
That's in the Apocrypha. Nehemiah. All right, so let's get inspired. Yeah. We're guys. Guys like building. Woo! Guys are builders, right?
Yeah.
It's true. Guys are builders. We could do a whole thing in Haggai and you know, basically God saying, why are you sitting around not building? You're building your houses and you're not building the temple of the Lord.
Yes.
So guys are builders, and we're going to build. So the question is, are we going to build for ourselves or are we going to build for the Lord? All right, so here we go. Eliashib, Nehemiah 3, verse 1. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work rebuilding the sheep gate. They dedicated it. They set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachar, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hasena. They laid the beams, and they put its doors and bolts and bars in place. And Haime, son of whoever, repaired the next section. Next to him, Julio, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zane, son of Bena, also made repairs. The next section was prepared by Jesse and the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to work. Uh-oh, they had those nobles. All right, so the bottom line is, because of Nehemiah's faith in God, because of his humility, because of his willingness to get in people's face and say, let's get up and do something. Let's get out and share on campus. Let's share our faith. Let's serve our community. Let's have those discipling times. Let's have those worship times. Let's get out there and do something. And they started doing stuff. I like verse 20. This guy, Baruch. Baruch is a pretty common Jewish name, actually. Anyway, next to him, Baruch, son of Zabai, actually Cain, son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section. This guy was slinging the mortar and the bricks, and it's like he was, you know, whistle while you work, whistle. I don't know, whatever. He was zealously serving. He's doing the hard work that, you know, the non-glory producing work of the kingdom, and he was doing it zealously. All right, and I hope you guys will dive into working for God with all your heart, but also take care of your studies. All right, students, you can do both. You can be a great student, and you can do great things for God. My daughter was baptized near the end of her freshman year in college. The next year, 10 girls she studied with were baptized in 1 year. 10. Now her studies did drop off a little bit. I almost wish she'd studied with 8 people, but then again, 2 people wouldn't have been saved, so I don't know if I should say anything. All right, imagine that. Imagine in one school you could be involved in 10 people becoming a Christian. That's a pretty good school year.
Yeah, great.
You know, and 20 years from now, whatever classes you took that semester, I don't know, I guess, but how about friends who are now married and have children and are Christians? And you know what I'm saying? Baruch repaired zealously. Nehemiah 4, 1 through 5. Okay. I think that we actually read this section, but we read it real quick. It didn't say much. But again, one of the themes of the book of Nehemiah is, you know, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people criticizing. There's going to be people who do not want you to succeed. Generally, the people who don't want you to succeed fairly often are going to be religious people. They're going to be jealous. That's my experience as a Christian. Well, okay. I mean, who killed Jesus? The Jews. God's people. It wasn't the Gentiles that killed him. All right. When Sanballat heard. Now, Sanballat, you do not want to be Sanballat. All right. You do not want to be the person standing there criticizing the work. Doing nothing and criticizing. You don't want to be Sanballat. He heard that we were rebuilding the wall. He became angry and he was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, by the way, this is the predecessors of what became the Samaritans.
Really? Wow.
This guy is essentially a Samaritan. And it began a long enmity, would it be fair to say? He said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifice? Who are they? I mean, what are they even doing on campus? What church is that? And who gave them authority? What, What are they trying to do? You know, force their religion on people, and you know what? You know, they're probably one of those gay bashing, you know, whatever, you know, stereotype, whatever. I don't know what it's going to be. What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones." This thing's going to fall apart as soon as, you know, the Oakses leave, and this, you know, it's going to go back, and this is going to disappear, and blah, 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 and, you know. All right. "Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity." By the way, I do not, just, you know, I do not pray this prayer about those who are opposing us. I just, you know, I just, I don't, if you want to pray this kind of prayer, it's in the Bible. It's called an imprecatory prayer. David did imprecatory prayers.
Oh, yeah.
It's legit. It's in the Bible. All right. I personally, I'm not into that stuff. All right. "Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height.
Wow.
For the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard the repairs to the Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry." They went from angry to very angry. And I'm telling you, if we have a student group of 20 or 30 or 40, we were at the University of Colorado, when I was a student there, we had a student group of well over 100.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it raised the hackles. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And it was mainly the other Christian groups that gave us a problem. All right? I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you what happened. I'm not going to care. I'm just telling you what happened. All right? I would say they were jealous. They were certainly jealous. All right? But I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know who. I'll tell you this. There's going to be opposition. And it may come in the form of suffering. It may come in the form of the administration doing stuff. I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm just saying Nehemiah is written for a purpose, and that's one of those purposes, is to warn you, to get ready. There will be persecution. All right. Anyway, they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God. We posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." So who's complaining now?
Builders.
The member, yeah, the disciples, the Christians, the club members. But these guys are raising legitimate actual issues. All right? They're not criticizing the goal. They're saying, "It's too hard. I'm tired. I'm tired. You're asking me to do too much." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and we'll kill them, put an end to their work." So how do you think the average member of this work crew is feeling right now? They're feeling bad. So what's needed? It needs a leader to stand up and say, "Wait, are we talking about God here, or is this a humanistic thing we're doing here? I mean, do you guys, what are you putting your faith in? You know? If we're doing the right thing and people oppose us, that's called normal. All right? Yeah. Okay, I'm not following my notes here. I'm going to follow my notes. Okay. Halfway done, right? So real valid concerns were raised by the disciples, by the club members, by the church members. Now those things Nehemiah needs to do something about, right? And you'll see the critics, the enemies he ignores, but the criticisms, the needs that are mentioned as reasons to quit, he doesn't blow those off. He does something to meet those needs. But what he doesn't do is say, you're right, let's stop the project. Maybe next year. He doesn't do that. So we tried to hire a couple, right, to lead our campus ministry. They turned us down. You know, it's like, all right, well, let's just take a semester off. No, thank you for laughing. Thank you for laughing. Let's take time out. The job is too big. We need some rest. Let's stop building for a while. We have to take care of our family issues, and we need to get our GPA back where it needs to be, which might actually be the case. Like I've said, these complaints are actual ones. You know what I'm saying? They're real ones, real problems that Nehemiah, he has to help solve those. But one thing he better not ever do is stop the work. See that? That's a thing for you. All right? I remember Jan and I, this is many years ago, and the church we were part of in San Diego was going through a lull, if you will. Just some stuff had happened, and, you know, people had just gotten off the wall. I'm telling you, it was the lowest time. We were part of that church for many years. And so Jan and I, we started leading the singles. We said, shepherding. So he said, all right, we're going to get out and start sharing our faith. And like 2/3 of the members said, we're not going to do that. No, I'm not kidding. We're not going to do that. So we got too many problems. We got to solve our own problems. They weren't shy about it. They weren't shy about it. So he said, all right, we're going to take that 1/3 and we're going to go out and we're going to build the wall and we're going to start something. All right. We didn't just sit around and wait. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And it took about 2 years before that group started growing. But once it did, I mean, it went from about 25 to 70.
Wow.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
All right. Oh, it's hot! Or, oh, it's cold! I have a toothache. My back. Oh, I have an exam coming up next month. I need to step it up so I can get a raise. We're running out of money. My girlfriend's complaining I'm not spending enough time with her. We need to hire somebody to take care of this, whatever. Okay? And then verse 11, our enemies start stepping up their attacks as well. This is what's going to happen. Let's see what Nehemiah did. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Now, did the work slow down at this point? It did. It had to. Because in order to take care of the situation, he had to designate some people to take care of the situation, right? Some people, instead of building the wall, were guarding. Some people, I don't know, whatever else. But what did he not do?
Stop
building. Got it? This, you know, because if you're going to be a leading God's people, reality steps in, you know what I'm saying? And you gotta take care of that stuff. But what you can't do is what the people are gonna want you to do. Which is stop building and just take care of all the stuff. Okay? Nehemiah refused to do that. Right? Then I stood up, verse 14, and said to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, guys, let's get fired up.
Amen.
Come on. This is Tom Brady. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Woo!
Which is a useless, meaningless nothing. I'm sorry, but who cares if you won the Super Bowl? Big deal. How about somebody going to heaven? All right. What is any number divided by infinity?
Infinity.
No, it is not.
Are we talking about limits?
What's any number divided by infinity?
Zero.
Thank you. That's Super Bowl versus one person going to heaven. All right. Got it?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. So sometimes less people will get baptized or less people come to the Lord because you got some stuff going on. But don't ever stop. Don't ever lose your vision. And if you're the leader, you have to do what Nehemiah is doing here. Right? You have to not listen to the naysayers. All right? So come up with a practical plan, but whatever you do, we will not Stop building. Yes?
Yes.
Then there's Nehemiah 5. Oh, then there starts to be some sin in the camp. And there's some people in the church who are lording it over other people in the church. The rich people are, you know, taking advantage of the poor people. And there's a bunch of junk going on. Oh, my goodness. And Nehemiah is pulling out his hair at this point. But what's he not doing? So what's he going to do then? He's going to deal with the sin. He's not going to ignore it. Right? You can't ignore it. Because if you ignore it, it's an infection, it's going to fester, and it's going to spread. So if there's sin in the church, I don't know about in the club. I don't know about a club, but all right. Because we're kind of like a club and a church both, honestly, here. We're kind of a little bit of both. I'm not sure I'm going to deal with sin in the club. That's my place. But all right. You get it. You get what I'm talking about, right? So drought, famine, heavy taxes, division, rich Jews, poor Jews, you know, all kinds of stuff. Verse 6 through 11. When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. And being angry about sin is okay. All right? When people start willfully disobeying God, feel free to get ticked off. In fact, you should get ticked off. It should bother you. It should get your hackles up, right? That doesn't mean you don't show compassion. Both. Need both. I ponder them in my mind. Then I accused the nobles and officials. I told them, you are charging your own people interest. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, as far as possible, we have bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us. They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say because a bold man of God was calling them out on their sins. All right, verse 10, I and my brothers and my men also are also lending the people money and grain, but let us stop charging interest. Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, houses, and also the interest you are charging them. 1% of the money, grain, blah, blah, blah. So Nehemiah didn't ignore the sin. He dealt with it, but what did he not do? Stop building the wall. You got it? That's the theme here. That's the theme. All right. How am I doing here? Ah, we're good. All right, so Nehemiah 6. Verse 1 through 4. It says 1 through 2. We're going to run through 4. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it. In other words, they're getting close to the point where it's starting to look like they might actually finish it. What they figured out is the threats won't work. They're not working. So they come up with a different plan. Anybody know what that plan's going to be? Nope. They're going to say, let's negotiate. Let's compromise. Ooh. Okay? That's what they're going to do. You say, let's have a powwow. We want to be part of this project.
Ooh.
All right? We want to share in the success.
Ooh.
That's what they're going to do. And there's going to be a time that's going to happen as well. The people who are not really committed to the work are going to want to kind of come into the shadow of what you're doing and getting everything to kind of compromise and find a half-baked way of doing it. So the word came to these guys that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gate. So it's not quite done. We're getting close there. So they go, all right, now we want to join the party. Yeah. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. And you know what Nehemiah is going to say? He's going to say, oh no, yeah. Oh no. It's a classic line. Yeah. He said, oh no, to, oh, that's a classic line there. Yeah. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project We're going to be sharing our faith. We're going to be telling people about Jesus. We're going to be out there meeting people's needs, helping poor people, helping people who are discouraged, giving vision, helping them to do well in school. And we're not going to stop doing it. And if you join with us, you're not going to do it. All right? We've got a great project, and we cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? So let's talk about it. We got these criticisms. Let's have these conferences and kind of discuss the criticisms. And you know, you listen to me and I'll listen to you. And we'll have these meetings where we talk about the criticism. And you know, Nehemiah says, you know what? I don't have time for these meetings. No. I got to keep doing the work. Sound familiar? All right. Then they did it four times. Come on, let's talk. That sounds great. Come on. If you were open-minded, you would talk with me, which sounds good. But if you know it's somebody's trying to destroy the work, you're going to really, you know, is that really going to be productive time? You know, there's a time for discussion and there's a time for work. All right. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written. So then they take it to the next stage. Okay, you know what they start doing? They start telling lies. Sweet little lies. The opponents of the work, they got all this stuff going on. They got different plans. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt. And therefore, you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There's a king in Judah. Now, this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together. Again, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Your critics are going to tell lies. And they're going to, you know, try to get people to not trust you through the telling of lies. Sounds good, but you know what? We're a disciple of Jesus. We give everything up, and we're not going to compromise you with you, and we're not going to have these conferences. Right? He said, I'm carrying on a great project. And he said, oh, no to oh, no. So they make four attempts at getting to compromise. And then when they find out that's going to work, not going to work, they start telling lies. All right? And I love his response. Nothing like what you say is happening. You are making it up out of your head. They're all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and will not be completed. All right, I can relate to this whole thing going on here, I'm telling you. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. And then there's some other stuff that went on. But let's go to Nehemiah 6, verse 15 and 16. Look at this. When all of our enemies heard about this. Oh, wait. Sorry. Verse 14. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. I don't know who that woman was. I think this is the only time she gets named. I don't think I'd want to be named in this setting, but whatever. So the wall was completed and on 25th of Elul in 52 days. 52 days they built the wall of Jerusalem. That's not a small project, folks. We're talking, I don't know, like something like a mile long in circumference. Here's a model of probably what the wall of Jerusalem looked like about that time. That may not be quite, you know, the right period, but something like that. Yep, and almost they built a wall. That is quite a project. And just think about what could happen. So, by the way, just so you know, we're not building walls, but we're building up the kingdom, right?
Yes,
we're building up the kingdom of God. And the wall, our wall is made out of people, right? We're building the temple, and the temple is made out of souls. That's what we're building.
So inside the wall was the city?
Yeah. In ancient times, yeah.
If you didn't have a wall, you're in trouble.
They'll come and take your stuff.
You could be beset by raiders.
If you don't have a wall, they'll send 20 people and take your stuff. If you got a wall, they got to send 2,000 people to take your stuff.
20 people.
Yeah.
Great wall. Great job.
Yeah, they had to do that. All right. And of course, Sanballat and Tobiah were saying they're building the wall so they can rebel against the king. But that was not the intention. They're trying to protect themselves from local marauders, the Jews at that time did not rebel against Persia. They did not. That's a historical fact. Okay? So to summarize, Nehemiah loves God and his kingdom. All right? And ask yourself, how much do you love God? And if you love God, you love his kingdom. You want to build his kingdom. Nehemiah had deep convictions about the need to build God's kingdom. And Nehemiah prayed about that. Before he went and did something, the first step in his plan was to pray. Right? And then he took action. He took bold action. He developed a plan and he took a risk. Doing great things for God, especially starting projects from scratch, is very risky. Because it might fail. It might fail. Yeah. Remember, we were being interviewed, I don't know, about a couple of years ago by this guy who does a podcast about church growth or whatever. And he was just interviewed in Jan and I. And we mentioned that for the first 9 months when we came here, nobody got baptized. And we shared with a lot of people. And he asked, did you guys ever doubt that it was going to work? Jan and I said, no. No. No, we didn't doubt it for a minute. All right, it takes that kind of faith. It takes that kind of faith that you just believe that God, because in Galatians 6:9 it says, in due time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. Got it? So Nehemiah takes action. He takes a risk. But then he develops a plan. If you're not a planner, then find somebody who is a planner. Some of us are lousy at plans. But we have great vision and great faith. Well, get a partner who's good at planning. You may not be good at all the things that are required. You may not be good at everything that Nehemiah did. Well, find somebody who is and form a partnership. Got it? Yeah, when we went to Merced College, it was Zane who made all the friends. Are you kidding? Within 2 months, Zane knew everybody on that campus. I'm only exaggerating a little bit. If I didn't have Zane with me, nothing would have happened. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but, you know, yeah, that's right. So he took action. He developed a plan, and he was real with the people. He didn't tell people, oh, it's going to be a piece of cake.
Yeah.
He told them, it's going to be hard work. Yeah, we're going to keep winning. All right, we'll go there. He reminded them that God was with them.
Yes.
That's the key. Because if God is not with us, who are we? Who do we think we are?
Yeah.
Who do we think we are to walk on a campus and say, a year from now, 20, 25 people will have totally changed their life? They had no idea. They weren't even thinking about becoming a Christian. Mm-hmm. And here they are, a completely different person because they bumped in. Who are you to think that it could actually happen? I mean, seriously, think about that. That's crazy. But, you know, he assured them that God was with them. And he called them to rise up and build. He called them to keep at the work despite all kinds of problems and opposition. He called them to repent of their sins. And he took care of the needs that came up and he dealt with the sin was there, but he did not ever stop the work. He made plans to protect the people from opposition and he refused to compromise with half-hearted worldly religious people wouldn't do it. All right. Oh, yeah. I forgot to go to the next slide. Yes. All right. And you know what? And the walls of Jerusalem were built. So we're going to do our little, two groups here. We have two groups. Because we always have discussion questions, right? So what do you want to build? Oh, wait. That was 2 weeks ago. I got new questions. Have you ever been tempted to temporarily give up your work for God's kingdom, or maybe even permanently? The answer most likely will be yes, but let's talk about it, okay? What was the deal? What was the situation? We're like, oh man, I just want to give up. I just want to give up. Okay? Number two, Nehemiah did a lot of stuff, right? What step that Nehemiah took would you like to take in order to build the wall? In other words, what one thing that Nehemiah did would you like to do? Okay? So let's get our discussion groups. We'll have one old guy in each group. All right? I'm going to be in Jesse's group, I think.